I mean, so look, if you look at that slide on the left, the map on the left, you'll see a red line with a bunch of stars on it. Those stars are all old historic mines. They're quite small but super high grade. So we're talking about mines that average, I think, 23 grams per ton, which is, two-thirds of an ounce from historic production. And a lot of those things are pretty narrow, like less than a meter or thereabouts. But the thing that really stood out to me is nobody's really explored that. There's no drilling on that line. None of the historic mines along there, and there's multiple historic mines along that line. Some of them go down, I think the deepest one is 500 feet. But the type of system that we're interested in, it can be multiple kilometers. If you look at Fosterville and Southern Cross, those guys are drilling 1 kilometer or 1.5 kilometers deep.
Mark Blythe, AU Gold Corp. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Oh, great, Andy. Yeah, thanks very much for having us on.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. To all my viewers and listeners, I got introduced to Mark just recently. We have a common friend, Jeff Phillips. And when Jeff calls me up and or we meet in person and he says he wants me to look at something, he immediately has my attention just because of his success. So, Mark, I want to thank Jeff publicly for that. Number one, to just the intro. And then I am all ears. Tell me about, give me a 30,000 foot view on what you guys got, your two or three projects that you guys currently have.
Yeah, I just want to talk about one project. It's Havelock. It's in Victoria in Australia. And the reason we got excited about this project is because Victoria has this huge history of gold being discovered there. 80 million ounces of gold produced from Victoria over the years. Key producers these days are Agnico Eagle's Fosterville mine, which is one of the highest grade gold mines in the world. And then, I know Jeff was pretty successful with Sunday Creek Southern Cross Gold. He's made a lot of money there on that particular discovery. And that company has a $2.5 billion market cap and a dozen drill rigs turning, and they don't even have a mineral resource estimate yet. So we got very excited about this gold plus antimony story that was happening in Victoria, and that's why we took on the Havelock project, which has historic mining of gold and antimony there. So that was why we went there, and why Jeff's excited about what we're doing.
Okay, and this project, I'm sorry, is where it's in Fosterville, is that correct?
No, it's about an hour's drive from Fosterville. It's
Okay, I
south
see
of a
it
town
right on the
called
map.
Bendigo. I
Yep,
beg your
go
pardon,
ahead.
Andy?
I see it right on the map, but the star,
Yeah.
got it.
Yeah, Havelock. Yeah, that's it there.
Got it. So
Yeah.
you're really close to Melbourne, so you're right on the fairway. You're really close to a lot of infrastructure and then a
Yeah,
lot of
it's a real
creeks, I'm
dream,
assuming.
for logistics. We have a town near the project with hotels and supermarkets and that kind of stuff. There's even a hardware store on the tenement grounds, which is actually kind of convenient. And
You can buy all your mining equipment there, right? I'm teasing you.
it's so nice when you've worked on remote projects where logistics are difficult to go and work on a project where everything is right
You
there,
just need a screw or something, you can go get it. All right.
Roads and trails and stuff, it's all just there, and cell phone service and that. Although, sometimes it can be a bit distracting when your phone rings and you're trying to work on the rocks.
All right. Mark, how did you get this project? Tell me that again. I'm very interested because
We
sometimes
had
you gotta be lucky and sometimes you gotta be really smart on these, but what were you?
a bit of an idea. Well, I had an idea after I'd gone and visited the Costerfield mine, which is owned by a company called Alkane. It's in production, does about 50,000 ounces a year, and I think it's produced about 5% of the world's antimony. And then, I kind of got interested and started looking for other things that were similar, and found this project. And the previous company operating it weren't really interested in antimony and didn't see how that fitted into the story as much. So, I got really interested in it, and managed to acquire it because they had lost interest in the bad markets in the early 2020s. And they had some decent drill results, but didn't get any uptake on the market. Now they're interested in something in Africa. So yeah, walked into that conversation at exactly the right time to make a deal.
Yeah, and then you buy straw hats in the winter, right? And that's what you did.
Exactly. So here we are. We've really been hitting the ground hard, and we did all early stage kind of prospecting and planning and thinking about what's going on here. And now we kind of get ready to drill. We've moved phases really quickly. We only got on the ground here, in less than a year, and we're kind of ready to drill on this project.
So this is a great property, really early stage, which is good. I tend to like, for me, that is, and all to all my viewers and listeners, assess your own risk. But I like it either very early or much later. Just I'm playing the Lassonde curve here, later going into production. So walk me through this here. Go ahead and walk me through this.
I mean, so look, if you look at that slide on the left, the map on the left, you'll see a red line with a bunch of stars on it. Those stars are all old historic mines. They're quite small but super high grade. So we're talking about mines that average, I think, 23 grams per ton, which is, two-thirds of an ounce from historic production. And a lot of those things are pretty narrow, like less than a meter or thereabouts. But the thing that really stood out to me is nobody's really explored that. There's no drilling on that line. None of the historic mines along there, and there's multiple historic mines along that line. Some of them go down. I think the deepest one is 500 feet. But the type of system that we're interested in, it can be multiple kilometers. If you look at Fosterville and Southern Cross, those guys are drilling a kilometer or a kilometer and a half deep, and or mining that deep. So if we're going and looking for something that we know has a lot of depth extent, and here we are, there's just the top surface parts being scratched, then I see that as a great opportunity, and the high grades that were mined here historically, some of the grades are reported as multiple ounces per ton.
Okay, yeah, to work that out a little bit more. What's to, around the area? What kind of grade? What's the kind of grade we're talking about?
Well, this particular trend, the average is about 23 grams per ton, but
Golly, that's great.
I mean, I've seen grades reported for some of these historic mines of up to 10 ounces per ton, but
Yeah.
that's on average. That's just for one particular parcel of material that was treated back in the
This is
1880s.
world-class potentially then, right?
Yeah, there's actually a real interesting history component to this project. A lot of the records were lost. I think what ended up happening was a lot of the people that understood what was going on here probably got drafted into the First World War, and some didn't return, and a lot of the knowledge got lost. And
Sure.
so a lot of this area has been pretty dormant, really, for as far as exploration goes, which is kind of stunning when you think about,
The proximity to
just the
towns
road
and stuff.
and
Yeah.
Southern Cross.
Yeah. I interrupted you, but I just, it's, it is stunning just the proximity to Melbourne and the surrounding area. I mean, it's again, you're right on the fairway for a historical resource, but also just on the fairway for just infrastructure.
So this red line in the middle here, this is what we call the Shaw-Macfarlane trend, which is what we're most interested in for drilling. It's about 9 kilometers long. I think there's probably a section in the middle of about 4 kilometers that really has our attention. We've managed to reconstruct a lot of the old workings by hiring a retired research geologist who collected newspaper articles from online sources, and then he went to individual libraries where they had microfiche records, and compiled all of those and managed to actually create 3D or representations on long section and cross section of each of those mines, which tell us not just that there was a mine there that was recovering good quality gold, because the old timers, they stopped if they weren't recovering any gold. But it tells us within those mines whereabouts the high grade zones were, where the best thicknesses were as well. So those are obviously the key parts of the system we want to test with drilling, is underneath where the best spots were in the old mining.
Got it. Okay, so your grade is like in the area is like some of the highest grade I've heard of, being here in the US. But talk to me about how much of it do you think you have, or can you even speculate about that?
Yeah, it's probably a bit early to speculate. We're hoping for drill success, and drill success would, we're going to see things that are narrow, things that are probably a meter or less. But I'm kind of hopeful that some of that material will have grades that's multi ounce per ton.
Okay.
That's my
So,
dream.
and this would be an underground mine, correct? Because of the grade, or what's the plan on that? And where do you ship this, or can you put it on a heap leach, even though it's such high grade? Yeah, talk to me just about the processing.
Yeah, I mean, these are likely to be steeply dipping narrow structures, so they would be more suitable for underground mining than open pit.
Yeah.
You The gold and antimony can be recovered with froth flotation. That seems to be a fairly typical method for recovering that as a sulfide concentrate, which is then sold and shipped to a smelter. I'm speculating here because we haven't actually got a resource and we haven't done any
You're
testing.
early, yeah.
We're early stage, but for example, Elkane at their Costerfield mine potentially would be able to process this kind of material because we're looking for a similar kind of system. So, you could truck this material to an existing plant and have them process it potentially if you could
Where's the
make
closest
this arrangement.
plant? How far is it?
Sorry.
How far is the closest plant? What's the distance?
Oh, there's processing plants less than an hour's drive.
So it's right there. Got
Yeah,
it.
very close by.
Okay. So talk to me about, again, share structure. Jeff has taught me a lot about that, and I was a stickler before I even met him. But yeah, talk to me about financials. Are you guys fully funded for this? And how much cash do you have? And how many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted?
Yeah, I got a slide for you. Here we go. 58
There you
million
go.
shares.
Man, you guys are tight. I am not surprised either. That's a very tight share structure.
Yeah.
You're
Look,
dealing with
I'm
Jeff.
one of the founders of this company. I have 7.1 million shares myself. I kind of anytime we issue shares, I'm thinking about it from my own perspective as well as that of a shareholder. So, we've probably tried not to dilute our share structure. We've raised the amounts of money we've needed at various stages. We've got about $1.5 million in the bank now. Maybe 1.5, $1.6 million. As we get towards drilling, the burn rate is obviously going to go up. Although this is Victoria is actually quite a cheap jurisdiction for drilling. I want to say drilling costs are probably half what you would pay in the US, based on the information we've been receiving from drilling companies. And we're talking to drill companies right now, trying to engage with the right group.
Got it.
Really
So,
small company. We're basically getting work done with contractors and consultants. We're picking people that have got skills and expertise for the various bits of work that we're trying to get done. We've our share price has been beat down a little bit as has everybody's with perhaps with what's happening in the Middle East and the gold price dropping down a bit as well. It's probably a good opportunity if people want to get positioned before a drill program.
got it. And when did, let's talk about the drill program. When does that commence? And when are you drilling? And that, I missed this. Are you fully funded for your drill program?
We've talked about a 2,000 meter drill program, and we would have enough money to do that drill program. But based on the work that we've done, it's highly likely we're going to want to drill more than 2,000 meters. So if the right opportunity comes along, we potentially raise a bit more money to make sure we've got lots of runway when we start drilling. We don't have a start-stop kind of approach to it.
Sure.
As for when we start drilling, we've been telling people we'll be drilling in Q3, but there's a few things that go into that. They've had an extremely wet winter in Victoria. Everywhere is wet, and if you're going to go on work in a farmer's field, you want to make sure it's dried out before you go in there. Some of the land we're working on is private property, and we've got some agreements that we still need to nail down with private property owners, and that's something we're working really hard on right now as well. You don't actually need permitting if you can fit into what's called low impact exploration in Victoria. You just need permission from the owner or whoever controls the land.
That's
But
beautiful.
there are some exceptions, and we've got a few areas that are in that low impact situation and a few that require a bit more work.
So it's a fantastic place to drill, is what you're telling me.
Correct. Yeah. Inexpensive by comparison and relatively straightforward if you follow the rules.
Got it. Okay. So talk to me just and we'll land the plane on this. What news, or do you have any news that will be coming out over the next quarter? Take me through from now until the end of the year. Why should people be paying attention? You got your drill
I think
program.
there'll be some news coming up, in the next probably the next couple of months about the rationale behind our drill target selection.
Okay.
And I think some of that is just fascinating because we managed to reconstruct this historic gold field from records. And I think when people see, they always say the best place to look for a mine is next to an existing mine.
Right.
And that's kind of like what we're doing here, you know, and to be able to go and pick out the best parts of this entire trend and go and drill test them. Yeah, I think that's really pretty compelling. And when we put that in front of people, people will be excited. And then obviously a range of things around getting ready to drill, and then hopefully when we get drilling, then won't be too long to get some results from that. There's a laboratory that does the analysis that we've been working with, and they're only an hour's drive away from the project as well. So you got everything
So,
you need right here.
great. So it's safe to say drilling, give or take a few weeks, maybe in the next 30 to 60 days, assays will be coming back in the next probably month to 60 days after that, correct?
Probably towards the end of the year or early into the new year. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, excellent. So, Mark, I first again, I want to just I admire your share structure, and I'm not surprised. So well done on that. That's fantastic. And to all my viewers and listeners, this is not do your own due diligence, but I'm just saying this. This is just what I look for, and I only speak for myself. I look for early, very early stage with tight share structure, or very late stage going into production. That's my sweet spots. But again, do your own due diligence and figure out your own personality. Mark, if people want to trade you, if they want to do some more due diligence, they want to follow you, how do they do that? Give me your website and give us the exchanges that you're
Sure, yeah.
trading.
augoldcorp.com is the first place to go. We try and put lots of relevant information on the website about the project, and I'm pretty accessible too. Like, I like to respond to a lot of the inquiries personally. We do have a team, but I like to be, you know, I think talking to shareholders is a really very important part of my job. So I like to respond to a lot of those inquiries personally. And you know, obviously we have restrictions about what we can talk about sometimes, but I like to be pretty frank with people about what we got, what we're doing, and what to expect.
Got it. And you are in BC. You're a Canadian company, but you're
Correct.
operating, and these projects are in Australia, correct?
Yeah, the project's in Australia. We're a Toronto Venture Exchange listed company, TSXV, trading under the ticker AUGC. And I think we were working on one of the US listings, OTCQB, but we're not quite there yet.
Excellent. All right. I'll have Colby, my producer, put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Mark, it's a pleasure. I'd love to get an update as things progress.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Andy. Nice chatting to you.
My pleasure.